This is Benny Hill Time with Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, Anthony Sharp, the Michael Sands Singers, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Malcolm Lockyer. It's also time for the lad himself, Benny Hill. A few weeks ago, we took the nursery rhyme Jack and Jill and showed you how it might be presented by different programs. And this week, we thought we'd do the same thing again with Little Bo Peep. First of all, here it is in its original form.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home, bringing their tails behind them.
I wonder how Matt Dillon and company would handle it.
It's awful quiet out there tonight, Marshal. Awful quiet.
Yeah, Doc. I tell you, Doc, I don't like it. I don't like it one little bit. I got a kind of uneasy feeling.
Say, what in tarnation's that?
I'm Mr. Dillon.
Oh, Chester.
Hi, dog.
Say, Chester, your leg, it was always stiff. Now you're bending it. What happened?
Yes, I must have broke it falling off my horse. Mr. Dillon, I just come over from the Peep Sheep Ranch.
All my people, King.
Yeah, he's okay. It's his daughter, Bo.
Say, I never knew he had a daughter.
Yeah, he don't talk much about her. She's awful worried.
Oh, I better get this down. What's the name again?
Bo.
How do you spell it?
B-O.
You know, I didn't know about her either.
She don't have many friends, Mr. Dillon.
Well, now, what's the trouble?
She was out and rounding up a herd of shorthorns, and some fella fires a shot, and all her sheep just up and stampeded.
Did she get a look at the guy who fired the shot?
Yeah, she said he was about 7 feet tall, with a red beard and black hair, and a patch over one eye, and one ear missing, and a wart on his nose. But other than that, he was just like any other fella.
Looks like he stampeded them sheep so he could steal them in his own good time. I better get over to the Peep Ranch right away.
Shall I come with you, Mr. Dillon?
No, Chester, you better go and have a talk with Miss Kitty down at the Long Branch Saloon. See what you can find out.
No, Chester, I ain't heard of no sheep thief around here. What'd it be?
I'll have a ginger beer.
Coming up? There you are, Chester, that'll be 50 cents.
Oh, say, Miss Kitty, that tastes like sheep dip.
Sheep dip? Oh, look, I'll give you another one. Don't want you to get fleeced. I mean, that is, well, not fleeced.
Miss Kitty, you ain't hiding something from me, are you? Do you know something about them sheep?
Well, I know, Chester. Why?
Well, underneath that low-cut dress of yarn, I can see you're wearing a sheepskin liberty body. Can't recall ever seeing that before.
No, Chester,
old fella with the ginger beard coming down the stairs, why, he's got white curly hairs all over his clothes.
Oh, well, you see, Chester, he's been dancing with a blonde, curly-haired girl.
I reckon she'd be bald by now. I'm gonna have a talk with him.
Oh, no, Chester. No, don't.
Well done, Chester. So you finally brought in the sheep thief.
Sure did, Mr. Dillon. Why, he'd been hiding up in that there room for 3 weeks with all them sheep.
But tell me, what made you suspect him?
I knew it was him the moment he introduced himself.
You did?
Sure, Marshal. Hey, you come over here and tell the Marshal your name.
Basil Maverick, Marshal.
I wonder what the National Theater would make of it.
But soft, what light in yonder window breaks? What light the darkness splinters? Why, 'tis a maid of some 17 summers. I am 47 winter. Odds bodkins, 'tis the maid Bo Peep, a-pacing of the floor, concerned for her sheep. Those sheep who would one day be transformed into mutton. to appease the appetite of some fat-bellied glutton. But picture, if you will, the sheep. One of them a black sheep who left the moor as sly as any elf, and yet a sheep who was as black as any moor himself. A ram. A horned ram who did his mistress's entreaty spurn and wandered off and lost himself, trying to make a U-turn. A gentle sheep whose wool is spun into a yarn so thin, yet not as thin as this yarn which I do now spin. All this did happen while the maid Bo Peep did sit upon the grass accounting of her sheep, and by the counting of them did fall asleep. Her father counseled her, bear them no mind, they will return, a bringing of their tails behind. But as the smallest of these lambs who sat upon the icy ground did cry with voice so bold, so do I say to you, my tale is told.
Began down in Saint-Tropez, as it can down in Saint-Tropez.
Ah, Saint-Tropez, the Côte d'Azur, the sun drenched Riviera. What wonderful thoughts it conjures up. Or if you spend a holiday there, what magic memories.
Smashing down there, isn't it, Harry?
Oh, yeah.
Here, I like your swimming trunks, Harry.
Oh, yeah. I got them at that little booty queue down the Iru. It's a nice little French oiseau in here, I'll tell you.
They do look smart.
Oh, it's so lovely, isn't it, Harry?
Yeah. Oh, it's hot.
Oh, it's real hot, that sun is, yeah.
Do you think I ought to take me raincoat off?
Pretty young, you'll have us chucked off the beach if you're not careful.
No, only I thought I'd like to get a bit of a suntan. I thought I'd let the sun see me body.
Well, don't let it do that or it go in again.
Don't you think I should, then?
Well, of course, mate. You want to get a tan while you can, don't you?
All right, then. Oh, well, there's me raincoat off. Now I'll just fold me suit up nice and neat. Put it on top so it won't get creased.
You did bring a bathing suit with you, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I got it on underneath me suit.
You're sure?
Yeah, you'll see.
I mean, we don't want a recurrence of what happened when you got off the plane, do we?
Oh, that weren't my fault, Harry. That was the stewardess's fault. She said, the plane has now come to a stop. You can undo your belt.
She meant your safety belt, Lockley.
Oh. Well, there we are. Told you I'd got me bathing suit on. What do you think of it?
It's a bit daring, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, them sleeves are a bit short, aren't they? Start, you know.
Do you think so?
No, don't worry. I'll keep my eyes open for the gendarmes.
Lockley, look over there.
What?
That bird. The one putting on the sun oil.
She's left her handbag open.
She's not wearing much, is she, eh?
She ain't half taking a chance.
She isn't all.
Still, perhaps she ain't got nothing worth pinching.
You're joking, of course. Yeah, it's a bit naughty, the little thing she's wearing, though, isn't it? I've seen more cotton in the top of an aspirin bottle.
Hey, don't let her see you watching, Harry. She'll think we're cheeky.
She'll think we're cheeky? Oh, mate, and her wearing that.
Hey, Harry, I wouldn't half like to talk to her, I would.
Well, how can you? You can't speak French. So much you can do to speak English.
Why, well, it don't matter.
Look, I bought you a French-English dictionary, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, look it up, then.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's a bit awkward, Harry.
Why?
Well, all the words are like in different places. I can't find some of them.
Oh, give us it here right now. Where's your appendix?
In Middlesex Hospital. What, as if they ain't throwing them away?
Well, I don't know why I bother with you straight, I don't. I could have got a human being for the same price, you know. Look, at the back of the book, there's a lot of useful phrases. Think here. Oh, yeah, well, then, you know. What time does this train arrive at Calais? Where is the porter? Here is the porter.
Oh, that ain't going to be much help to us, is it?
Where are my trunks?
You've got them on, Harry. Good job you have, otherwise we might...
Look, what do you want to say to her?
Well, pop over the other side of the road and have a cup of tea with me.
Well, don't think you'll find that in here, not all in one lump, mate. But I'll try and sort it out for you. Now, what's the first word you want?
Pop over...
Pop. Oh, pop. Here we are, then. Oh, there's two pops. Pop le pair. Pop petite explosion.
I think petite explosion sounds more French.
Right, oh, then pop over, 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 sir.
Eh?
Sir. S-U-R, sir. Oh.
Petite explosion, sir.
Ah, oh, that sounds all right, yeah. Hey, hurry up, she's getting dressed, she'll be off in a minute.
Pop over the other side of the road. The other. What's the French for the other?
L'amour, I know that. And the next one?
Side of the road.
Side, side.
Oh, look, she's going.
Hey, wait a minute. No, she's coming over here. Quick, side, side, your side. Coat A. What's the next bit?
Excuse me, could you tell me the time?
Have a moat. It's in the back, I think. Tell her, Etil. Tell her. What'd you say?
I said, what's the time?
Harry, she's English.
I know she's English. It's half past 12, as a matter of fact.
Oh, ta.
You got time for quick drinks before lunch, have you?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, what I mean to say is, all right.
Right, oh, then. Well, let us petite explosion sur l'amour côté, as the French say, eh?
Oh, you speak language.
Oh, fluidly. Shall we go, then? All right, then, Lofty. Look, get all that gear up and you can come with us. Come on, then. Come on.
How did you come here? Did you fly, then?
No, as a matter of fact, we drove down here in our limousine.
Oh.
Yeah, it's my dad's delivery van.
Yeah, it was the most exciting trip down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it broke down going over a level crossing.
Fancy.
Yeah, well, it had no gates, you see, and there was, we were stuck on the line here, and there was this train coming.
There weren't no train coming, Harry.
There was sometime. Oh, here we are, my favourite outdoor cafe, Merbles.
There's no one here.
Oh, that's because it's like very exclusive, see. Well, sit down then. Plenty of tables and chairs to choose from, isn't
there? Oh, right, it's a bit quiet.
Oh, well, that's the best way, isn't it? I mean, we don't riff-raff here, do we?
Oh, here comes the bloke.
Well, you better order. You speak the language.
Yeah, well, where's the menu then?
Where's this it? This card?
Monsieur?
Yeah. Silver plate, Troyes of these.
Pardon, monsieur?
Troy Chasers.
Oui, monsieur. De quel genre?
Easy.
Oui, monsieur. Oui, monsieur.
Ooh, I say, you really speak it, don't you?
Yeah, all the time.
Well, what did you order then?
That there on the card.
But what is it?
Ah, you'll see.
It's going to be a surprise for me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for him and all.
Voilà, monsieur. Trois chaises.
Pardon? Pourquoi vous avez...
Monsieur, would you rather speak in English?
Oh, very well, if you insist. Look, there's only three of us. I mean, what do you bring three more chairs for?
Because you asked for them.
But I wanted you to bring us some drinks.
But, monsieur, I cannot bring you anything to drink.
Well, why not? I mean, you've got tables and chairs out here.
I know, monsieur. This is a furniture store.
Furniture store? And you told me you could speak French. You're just a loudmouth yobbo, you are, aren't you? You're just a loudmouth. Goodbye.
Just a minute, I thought we were going to... Oh, blimey.
She's right, you know.
What?
You are a loudmouth yobbo. Well, no, what I really meant was... Well, I mean, you do talk a lot, don't you? No, what I mean is that I... Why are you looking at me like that?
Come on, mate.
But, Harry, what have I said? I mean, what did I say to upset you?
Oh, come on.
We present We Want to Know, an inquiry into matters of everyday interest.
This week, the written word.
And here with me is someone who's quite an authority on the written word. Author poet, Mr. Fred Scuttle.
Mr. T.S. Scuttle, if you don't mind, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. T.S. Scuttle. Mr. Scuttle, what sort of state would you say British literature is in today?
Very healthy, sir. In spite of television and radio, sir, more people are writing in Britain today than ever before.
Oh, that's most encouraging. Do you read very much yourself?
All the time, sir.
Really? You must have a lot of books.
Books, sir? I don't have any books.
Well, what do you read, then?
Wool, sir.
I beg your pardon?
I read wool, sir. That is where you find the budding Shaws and Shakespeare, sir, on walls, not in books.
You amaze me.
Oh, do I, sir? Well, it's obvious, sir. I mean, Fred Loves Mabel, chalked on a wall, tells more in three words than Victor Hugo did in The Whole of As You Like It.
You know, this never occurred to me before.
Oh, sir, people have been writing on walls since time immemorial, sir, they have. Back deep into the annals of time it has been happening. So, look, sir, I'll give you an example. So, last week I was in Hastings, and etched deep into one of the walls there, sir, was, "Normans, go home." What a cry from the heart that must have been, sir.
Yes, indeed.
You see, sir, the wall is permanent. Paper is not. Books can be destroyed and mutilated, sir. But if you write on a wall, sir, what harm can come to your words on a wall? Especially if you write it eye up.
And where, in your opinion, is the best literature found?
Well, sir, I think it would be a wall I once saw in an alleyway very near the naval barracks at Portsmouth. It was full of literary gems, sir. Witty, poetic, sad, joyful. The whole of life was there, sir. And beautifully spelt. And you know, sir, what really touched me, sir, was the lovely thought across the top. It was beautiful, sir. Written in bold capital letters, sir, it said simply, "Happy New Year to all our readers."
Oh, thank you, Mr. T.S. Scuttle.
One of the lesser-known art forms which falls into the category of literature is that of translation. To take a fine piece of literature in one language, break it down, and assemble it as an equally fine piece of literature in another language is no mean feat. And someone for whom this task holds no terrors is Roland Stody.
Hello.
Mr. Stody, in your job, I suppose it's not enough just to know the language. One would also have to know the idioms and colloquialisms and idiosyncrasies of the people.
Oh, yes. I think.
You'd have to be able to understand them completely.
That's quite right. You'd have to be able to go amongst them and be accepted as one of them. I mean, for instance, I was recently in northern Spain, and I met this English chap somewhere along the coast, you see.
Bilbao?
I don't remember his name. But he just couldn't get along with the locals, even though he spoke the language quite well, whereas I was accepted. You see, I met this Spanish girl, and as soon as I greeted her with the customary bonus knockers, señorita, I was accepted. As a matter of fact, I had a job convincing her I wasn't Spanish. But of course, after that, I lived the life of one of them. I had everything that a Spaniard would have.
I suppose you had your share of paella.
No, she was married. So she didn't have much time for cooking. But she and her husband took me, like, to the bullfight, and oh, how excited they got. I mean, when the matador came on, they threw shoes and hats into the ring. I threw my shoes in.
Oh, and what did he do?
He put them on. I had to walk home barefoot, but there, holy, as they say.
Now, the song you've translated for us today is, I believe, French.
It's quite right. I came across this song. It's a lament, really. One day when I was out walking, you see, I seen this man, and unlike myself, he was a pheasant stock. And he was sitting on a tuft of grass and sadly singing. I thought perhaps his search for this delicate edible funguses had been in vain. So I offered him some of mine, but he refused, saying in a sad voice, "No, thank you, monsieur. I have truffles of my own." So here now is this haunting, overt pheasant song.
You told me I was the only one, the only one that you could not resist. So that night I took you walking, and I tried to kiss you in the fog and mist. But it was your kindness and your understanding that first attracted me to you somehow. Like the way you always took the trouble to warm your hands before you milked the cow. I remember our wedding day, dear. Your mother was crying and feeling blue. If I'd have known then what I know today, dear, I think that I'd have been crying too. For last week I came home and caught you with the butcher. You were kissing and cuddling and such. Oh, my darling, how could you kiss the butcher when you know we owe the milkman so much?
That was Benny Hill Time with the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Malcolm Lockyer, Michael Sam Singers, Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, and Anthony Sharp. Benny Hill Time was written by Benny Hill and produced by John Brown.